Okay, tonight is Tuesday night, October 29th, Rosh Chodesh, Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir being held this week on Tuesday night instead of the normal Monday nights. Okay, Rabotai, we are up to Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet. And I'm just going to review briefly what we're up to in the Gemara, about 10 lines into the Gemara. I'm just going to reread the two lines in the Mishnah that are relevant, and then pick up where we left off last year. So the Mishnah mentions, in the top line of the Mishnah, Ve'elu Kosvin B'moed. These are the type of documents that can permitted to be written on Chol HaShemoim. And the first illustration that the Mishnah gives is Kiddushei Nashim. If you're going to betroth a woman, one of the options is to do so with a document. You write in the document, Harei at mekudeshet li bishtar zu kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. And the husband gives it to the proposed wife in the presence of two witnesses. So they can be written on Chol HaShemoim. So the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel, Mutar le'areis isha b'Chol HaShemoim, Shema yikadmenu acher. The reason why we allow you to get married, or engaged rather, on Chol HaShemoim, is because if you don't act swiftly, somebody else might jump the gun and marry her. And if somebody else jumps the gun, you might not find your match for a very long time. Therefore, we allow such an activity on Chol HaShemoim. So the Gemara looked to establish some support for Shmuel. Lema Misayale, let us support Shmuel and Amora from our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ve'elil kosvin b'moei kiddushei nashim. These documents can be written. And the first illustration is kiddushei nashim. Well, if you're not allowed to get engaged, why would you be permitted to write the document on Chol HaShemoim? So the Mishnah, despite the fact not stating that you are allowed to get engaged, must acknowledge that you are permitted to get engaged. Otherwise, there would be no heter, no reason to allow the writing of the document on Chol HaShemoim, because the norm on Chol HaShemoim is that ksiva is aser. You're not permitted to write on Chol HaShemoim, unless it's one of those things that you're allowed to write on Chol HaShemoim. So the Gemara answers, my love, shtarei kiddushin mamish. Is the Mishnah not talking about shtarei nashim, the document that I just mentioned, the document which in effect creates the legal bond of kiddushin? Answers the Gemara, no, lo, shtore psikta. What the Mishnah perhaps had in mind of Kiddushei Nashim was not that you were allowed to write the document which creates the bond of Kiddushin, but rather, shtore psikta. What of shtore psikta? The document which indicates how much of a nadin you are going to be giving, how much dowry you are going to be giving to your son-in-law, and so on and so forth. The Amukidarav Gidul Amarav. The Amarav, the Amarav Gidul Amarav, Kama Atonosein Labincha, Kach Vakach. Kama Atonosein Labitcha, Kach Vakach. So each of the parents obligate themselves to give X amount of dollars as a nadan, and that is what the Mishnah has in mind, that you are allowed to write on Chol HaShemoim, despite the fact that you are not necessarily getting engaged at this particular time. Now perhaps you can't get engaged on Chodesh HaMoed, but this document we might want to write, not because of Shema Yikadmenu Acher, but for a totally different reason. What might be the reason why we allow it? Because maybe the each father, respective father, will say, hey, you know what, I love him, he's a wonderful guy, he's not worth that much. And the father of the chassid will say, yeah, she's a wonderful mevila, but she's not worth $500,000 in dowry. And then that might cause them to get into a little fight and break up. So it's not talking about getting engaged. It's quite possible that they were already engaged, and now they are writing this particular document. So all the Gemara is doing is trying to disprove the fact that the Mishnah necessarily supports Shmuel. Because you could ask the question, why this document yes and that document no? Why should I allow you to write the Shtarei Psikta, not necessarily Shtarei Kedushin? So the Gemara doesn't go to any great lengths to explain why this is to be written more readily than Shtarei Kedushin. But all we're doing is saying that the Mishnah does not necessarily support Shmuel that you're allowed to get engaged on Chol HaShamoed. Maybe you're not allowed to get engaged. Yeah.
And the assumption is Erisin and Kedushin.
Yes, they are. Always in Mishnaic terms, sometimes it's Kedushin, sometimes it's Erisin. Yes.
Why would we interpret the Mishnah in a non straightforward manner?
Because we would, but sometimes the Gemara plays and says, okay, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but it ain't necessarily so that the Mishnah backs them up. To claim that a Mishnah supports an Amora, they want compelling proof. That's the only thing. Yeah. Now, this line of thinking of the Gemara is even more difficult according to a Tosfos that we read. If you take a look at Tosfos, Ve'elu Kosvin B'moed, the Tosfos gives one sweeping explanation for everything that is permitted to be written on Chol HaShamoed. Nire, Dechol Hani Hevedover Ha'aved. Why do I suddenly allow you to write these documents? Because it's something that might be irretrievable. And we've already established the license that if you have something which is aved, you are permitted to engage in Chol HaShamoed. Well, here, what is the Dover HaAved aspect? Penyomus HaNosein, perhaps the person who is obligating himself to give something. Ohoedim, Obezdin, perhaps somebody will die, the giver, the witnesses, the Bezdin, then you'll have to start looking for another Bezdin. O Yelchu L'mdinas Hayam, perhaps they'll travel overseas. Well, if that's the ultimate reason, you would have to, in effect, say what Moshe is driving at. Why would I eliminate real Kiddushei Nashim? Maybe the Chassan is going to die. That's not going to help her out much. But maybe he'll go to Medina Sayyam. He'll travel across, he'll suddenly want to go to a ball game in another country. And then who knows what happens to him. And then she's going to lose her opportunity. So it's based on the simple flow of the Gemara, it's difficult to identify why I would prefer this Shtarei Psikta as opposed to Kiddushei Nashim. What advantage that happened to have. And as you well know, in Chassidish homes, they still have Shtarei Psikta. When they have a Vart, it's a Vart. There is a Vart. When we call, I'm making a Vart, it means Vart means you're saying something. What are you saying? Nothing. At the Vart, you say some Divrei Torah, things like that, but nobody's making any obligations. What the Vart really meant was that they made an obligation. I'll pay for this part of the wedding, you pay for this part of the wedding, here is what I'm going to give to the chasam, here's what you're going to give to the kala, and that was a hischaivus. And that's the real tanayim. When we say that they write tanayim, it was always before the act of the formal engagement, which now takes place at the chuppah itself. That's where they had something to put your hands into to make sure that nobody backs out. Today, tanayim at the wedding is a joke. It's a photo op for the two mothers to break a glass. Or a blade. It doesn't have any halachic significance to it because I haven't seen anybody, thank God, at the chuppah say, I'm not coming to the chuppah. Okay, 5 minutes, I'm not coming to the chuppah. Because the tanayim is a financial compensation package. In case either child does not show up, the other one obligates themselves to pay all of their down payments, which are non-refundable, to the caterer, to the band, to the photographer, and so on and so forth. So it's a little difficult. Fine. And then the Gemara said, and we elaborated upon this, Umdu v'kichu, kanu, hein hadvarim ha'nikna ba'amira. We said that you don't actually need a document for this. In theory, simply stating your obligations would be enough. We discussed that at great length. Now the Gemara is where we're up to. The Gemara looks for additional support for Shmuel. Lema Messiah, says the Mishnah, Einosim Nashim B'moed. You are not permitted to marry anybody during Chol HaMoed. And we touched upon this as well on Daf Ches, where the Gemara offered several possibilities why you're not permitted to get married. Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Since there is a mitzvah of simcha in Chol HaMoed, you cannot complicate that with another simcha. Or v'samachta b'chagecha drash v'lo b'ishtecha. You are to rejoice on the Yom Tov, but not with your wife. In which case, it's a doraisa, not just ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, which is a din d'rabbanan. So ein nosim nashim b'moed, lo besulos. Not virgins, velo almanos, not widows, velo miyabmin, and you do not engage in gibum. Brother-in-law does not take his sister-in-law after his brother passed away without having children. Mipnei shesimcha hilo, because all of these things are considered an element of simcha. Inference. If the Mishnah emphasizes that you are not permitted to get married, ha le'ares shalom. Apparently, you're allowed to get engaged. Because if you were not allowed to get engaged, which does not have an accompanying element of simcha with it, but for some reason or another would have been prohibited, the Mishnah should have let us know the greater chiddush. Say that you're not permitted to get engaged. And then I would know, by way of Kal V'chaimer, that if you're not allowed to get engaged on Chol HaMoed, you of course are not permitted to get married.
Why is that Kal V'chaimer?
Because if Erusin, which does not have this element of Simcha, is nonetheless prohibited, Snisuin, which has abundant element of Simcha, certainly should be prohibited. That answers works. The Gemara. Lo mi boye. Gemara says no. This is lo mi boye kama, lo mi boye la ares dilo ka'avad mitzvah. Not only are you not allowed to get engaged on Chol HaMoed, because there is no mitzvah to get engaged, ela afilu lisa nami de ka'avad mitzvah. However, marriage, which does have a element of mitzvah associated with it. So I could have imagined that the mitzvah is the override for Chol HaMoed. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us that it's asur nonetheless. So the mere fact that the Mishnah does not tell us that erusin is asur is because it is looking for the bigger chiddush. Not only, of course, is erusin prohibited, because there is no mitzvah to get engaged. Nonetheless, there is a mitzvah to get married. So I could have thought that nisuin on Chol HaShomoed is permissible. However, we are not going to allow it based on the considerations which we just mentioned. B'samachta b'chagecha, emarvin simcha b'simcha. Therefore, the Mishnah, once again, that Mishnah, again, offers no proof whatsoever that Erusin is permissible, and we don't have ample evidence to support Shmuel. Yes?
Where does the Mishnah end? The Mishnah end by the Yavin, or does it give the explanation of the Peshah simple below? Who's that explanation?
Who says that?
When it says, lo Yavin, lo Yavin,
so, let's take a look. It's Daf Ches Amid Beis. Let's just take a look at it for a second. Yeah, it says it in the Mishnah itself. B'nei Simcha Hilo. It's in the Mishnah.
So that's the reason. B'nei Simcha Hilo. It's a simple issue, not a mitzvah issue.
But the Gemara, as I just told you, is looking for any way to deflect support. It's not looking to come up with absolute criteria to distinguish the difference in Erusin and Nisuin. All we are trying to do is say, push off Shmuel. Shmuel, you're looking for support from a Mishnah, it's got to be irrefutable.
Even though the Mishnah actually uses Simcha as its reason, as opposed to...
That's the reason. I could have considered a marriage permissible on Chol HaShomoed because it is a mitzvah. So why does the Mishnah say ein no sin? Nesha simcha ilo. Because it violates a different principle. Yes?
What is the source of ein marvin simcha b'simcha?
What is the source of it? We learned it out someplace. I don't remember offhand what might be the actual source of that din.
The Mishnah, the first one I'll say, the next one is avamach certain who gets b'shusso.
Right? So because that's not, there's no additional simcha.
It is an asuin,
that's correct. But they don't expect that you're living with the woman for 20 years and now you're going to live with the same woman again.
It's in California, then your Erusin should be fine.
What?
That's an asuin, and it's okay. So, Erusin.
Okay, I could have argued that. True, I'm not saying no.
So this Gemara seems to be flipping as to what the reason is.
In which case? Nisuin, it's always the same thing.
No. The reason why these things are not permitted, is it? Meaning that if you hold the reason that you're not allowed to do it is simcha, ein marvin simcha b'simcha, then I shouldn't, then mitzvah is irrelevant. If you hold another reason, then mitzvah may play a role.
That I would have said that Erusin and Nisuin are the same. And if I'm going to, that's the Gemara's rejection. I would have said they're the same thing.
Because why?
Because... I would say, Erusin, there's no mitzvah. The Gemara initially thinks that it's going to support Shmuel. Why? Because Erusin has no simcha. Therefore, why shouldn't it be prohibited? Otherwise, the Mishnah would have said, Ein me'arsin nashim b'moed. Why does the Mishnah say, Ein nosin nashim b'moed?
So that only works if you're working that the prohibition is Ein me'arim simcha b'simcha.
No, that's going to be the Gemara's answer. I would have thought that Mishnah, if it wanted to prohibit Erusin as well, tell us the bigger chiddush, Ein Me'arsin. And I would know automatically Ein Nosin.
That only works if the reason is Simcha.
Why? I could have said that they're both Asur, because why should I allow a Nisuin if I'm going to prohibit Erusin? Why should I allow it? What logic can you defend that Erusin is permissible, is prohibited, and Nisuin is permissible? What logic can you offer?
That Erusin is permitted?
If Erusin is permitted, yes, but no. If Erusin is prohibited, and now tell me why the Mishnah is saying Einosin Nashim.
Because you know, Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, and Erusin
Nashim. That's the Gemara's answer.
Okay, but my point is the Gemara is just flipping. It's changing its reason.
Okay, yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
The Gemara didn't offer any reasons as to why I might assume that Erusin is prohibited and Nisuin is permissible. Doesn't tell us.
You already started the process.
What?
You already started the process.
Okay, you can say a lot of sir. I'm saying the Gemara doesn't deal with it. You're right. Could have said I'm already in the middle of the process, so we'll let you continue. But to start the process, we will not. Yes, just as logic. Just as logical.
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Yes.
Just looking at the pasuk, Al Kein Yazal Ish Yisrael Mivisimo, what is that? What does that go to? Is that going to Nisuin? What's
that's Nisuin, of course.
Right, no.
And it's not a mitzvah.
So,
it's not a mitzvah. It's just a fact of life. That pasuk is never cited as a mitzvah. Not interpreted as a mitzvah. So now, let's take a look at the source sheet. So our Gemara said that the Gemara answered that the Mishnah is giving a lo mibayit. Not only what? Not only erusin is prohibited, deles ve mitzvah, but even nisuin, sheyesh ba mitzvah, is also prohibited because of the simcha component. Ask the Sam Sofer, how can the Gemara make a statement that erusin is not a mitzvah? How can it make such a statement? It's a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza, which we're going to read right now. So again, this is the Safaria way of printing something, because I still can't get it to Bar Ilan on my computer for some stupid reason.
Call tech support?
What?
Call tech support.
We called it. The whole school has been dropped
for
some reason. So, Kol Shechayavin Alav Mishum Shvus, the Mishnah on the first page, page number one. The bracketed. Kol shechayavin alav mishum shvus, mishum rishus, mishum mitzvah, b'shabbat, chayavin alav b'yom tov. Whatever is prohibited on Shabbos, based on simply a shvus, a rabbinic decree, or prohibited on Shabbos because it's defined as a rishus, which the Chachamim have said, an optional activity, which the Chachamim have said, we don't want you doing this on Shabbos, or a mitzvah, which the Chachamim have said, I don't want you to do on Shabbos, apply equally as well on Yom Tov. That's what the Mishnah says. And the Mishnah gives illustration on the bottom of the page. The Eluhim Shum Shvus, Lo Olin Ba'ilah, you're not permitted to climb a tree on Shabbos, neither on Yom Tov. Lo rochvin al gabei behema, not permitted to ride a horse. Velo shotin al pnei hamayim, not permitted to go swimming in a open area, not in an enclosed pool, in a river or something. So you can't do that on Shabbos, can't do it on Yom Tov. Lo metapchin, lo mesakin, velo meraktin, you don't dance, you don't beat your hand onto your thigh to get the rhythm. Ve'elu mishum rishus, lo danin, not permitted to engage in dinei Torah, a bezdin, ve'lo mikadshin, you're not permitted to engage somebody, lo choltsin, you don't grant chalitza, ve'lo miyabmin, you are not miyabmin. Ve'elu mishum mitzvah, lo makdishin, not permitted to be makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, lo marichin, you don't say erki olai, velo machrimin, all of these are various types of donations to the mikdash, velo matbein truma umayser, and you do not separate trumas umayseris on Shabbos, so too b'yontav. Kol elu b'yontav omru. Kal v'chayme b'shabbos, ein bein Shabbos b'yontav aloichol nefesh. Fine. Go to the next page now. Says the Gemara, velo mikachin. Now, under what category did the Mishnah list Makachin?
Rishus.
A Rishus.
And a mitzvah.
No. That's Makdishin. That's to donate something to the Mikdash.
Okay, sorry.
Kiddushin is only Rishus. Ask the Gemara, v'lo Makachin. For her mitzvah ka'avid. When you engage somebody, you fulfill a mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, Lo tzricha de islay isha ubanim. The case is talking about the case in the Mishnah, which says that getting married is prohibited on Yom Tov, getting engaged is prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is talking about that he's already married and he has children. So, no mitzvah to go ahead and marry a second person. Therefore, the Mishnah says that that case is only listed as a reshus, not a mitzvah. What's the obvious inference? That if you did not have a wife and children, is the Gemara's question is in perfect place. That Kiddushin is a mitzvah. Ask the Sam Sofer, what in the world is going on with our Gemara? It's a Mishnah Mefureshes that Kiddushin is considered a mitzvah. Is considered a mitzvah. So
the real mitzvah is in the family.
No, that's not what that's not what the Gemara says. So
where's the source of that mitzvah?
We're going to talk about that in 2 seconds. In 2 seconds. So the Chassam Sofer answers that that the Gemara here is operating according to the maskana of the Gemara, namely that it's talking about what? He's married, has kids already. Okay, that's all. So our Gemara is operating according to that maskana. Okay, fine, no problem. However, there is a very, very famous Rambam, a machloikis between the Rambam and the Rush. The Rambam counts as one of the 613 mitzvot that you are mitzvah to get engaged. Mitzvah to get engaged. And go to the Rambam on page number 4. The Rambam tells us in Halacha Perek Aleph of Hilchos Ishus, Koidim Matan Torah Haya Adam Pogea Isha Bashuk. Before Matan Torah, somebody would go to the marketplace with two piggies and say, the piggies go to the market. This little piggy went to the market. So you went to the market with these little piggies. And he met a woman. In Ratzo Hu Vehi, Lisa Osa, if both of them want to get married, Machniso Latov Besa, he takes her home, Uboala, and he has relations with her, Beno Lubinatsmo. No witnesses, nothing, you don't have to write any documents. And Vitihiye Loli Isha. And that's how marriage would be effected. And don't forget, the Rambam is telling us this because one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is Arayis. And one of the Arayis that are prohibited for B'nei Noach are Eishes Ish. So they have to have a mechanism how to establish the bond of Eishes. So that's the way you did it. Kevon shenitna Torah nitztavu Yisrael she'im yirtza ha'ish lisa isha yikne osa techila bifnei edim v'achar kach tihiye lo l'isha she'ne'emar ki yikach ish isha uba eileha. If a man shall take or betroth a woman and have relations with her, then in halacha base, velikuchin elu mitzvas asei shel Torah heim. This acquisition is considered a mitzvah midoraisa. Ubeechad mishloshet dvarim elu ha'isha niknes bekesef o bishtar o bebia bebia ushtar mehatorah. Bia and Shtar are in the Torah midoraisa. I'm not going to spend time on the next 4 words because it's troubled every Tom, Dick, and Harry whoever wrote anything on the Rambam is troubled with the next line. Ubekesef midivrei sofer. So we have studied enough Rambams to know that how do we typically translate midivrei sofer? How do we translate? Kriyas HaMegillah Beleil Bismana Mitzvah Midivrei Sofer. How are you going to explain that to your kid? It's a Durabana. in Hilchos Chanukah, Kriyas HaHalel LeOlam Mitzvah MiDivrei Sofer. Recitate always with the Rabban, against the Ramban, who says that Halel is Doraisa. What do you mean? The Rambam believes that Kinyan Kesef is only Midrabanan? That means we're only married Midrabanan, every single one of us. Because we all do Kesef. So it was a it was something that troubled everybody, and they said that Divrei Sofrim also might mean if it's not exactly written in the text. How do we know that Kiyikat Ishisha is Kesef? We learn it out from what? Kicha kicha mistei Ephraim. Doesn't say it in the text. Avram was purchasing a field for a burial place. And we use it. That's not black on white. And that's what the Rambam means, midivrei sofrim. Even though it does not jive with 1,432 times, other times, when the Rambam calls something midivrei sofrim. But anyhow, that's what the Rambam says. So now, take a look at Rabbi Avram Bino Shel HaRambam. The Kesef Mishneh, right there, quotes the Rambam's son. Kosav HaRabbeinu Avram Bino Shel Rabbeinu. Shehik Shelo, he asked Pop, in between innings, Al Mashi Kosav Rabbeinu, Mitzvahs Asei Shel Torah L'Kadish Isha. How, Pop, could you write that it's a mitzvah midoraisa mimashikosav beperik elu megalchen, based on what we just read in the third parak of Bayit Katan? Lo mi bayit kamar. The Gemara is saying lo mi bayit. What does this mean? Lo mi bayit le'areis the lo of it mitzvah she'asur ela afilu lisa isha deka of it mitzvah nami asur. So the Gemara says that Erusin is not a mitzvah. So Pop, how'd you write down that it's a mitzvah? And indeed, the Rush draws support. A Rush in Masechet Ketubot says that there is no mitzvah to get married. There is a mitzvah to have children, pru urvu. But you don't have to get married in order to have the mitzvah, fulfill the mitzvah, pru urvu. The Rush says you can be mekayim the mitzvah with a pilegesh, the concubine, who's just a woman who you live with, but is not necessarily your wife. You know, the Rambam defines a pilegesh, a woman you have a relationship with no kedushin and ksuba. No pair of ksuba, no kedushin, just make up to live with her exclusively, not anybody else.
There's no concern over priestess or anything of the sort?
Okay, it might be. The Rush is not advocating that. He's just challenging the Rambam that it's not a mitzvah saseh. So Pop, how are you going to answer? Vitirates, and during the next commercial, the Rambam answered, Shebeminyan ha-mitzvos, b'tchilas ha-halacha amar, I wrote at the introduction to this unit, Shehamitzvah lisa isha b'ksuba v'kidushin. The mitzvah is to get married with ksuba and kiddushin. You should get in betrothed first, write a ksuba, and there has been tons of Torah written. Why does the Rambam have ksuba before kiddushin? Normally, kiddushin precedes the obligation of ksuba. So there's 28,000 different terutzim for that too. V'loyomar lekadesh isha. I never said that what? That there's a mitzvah to get betrothed. V'zeh she'amar likuchen elu mitzvah saseh lefi shehi tchilas mitzvahs hanisuin. Erusin is the beginning of the mitzvah of nisuin. Avul erusin below nisuin vaday lo hishlim ha-mitzvah adayin. Somebody who just gets engaged but never follows through and gets married, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. So don't get all excited, my son, that I counted this as a mitzvah. I didn't count the act of erusin independently. It's the first of multiple parts of a mitzvah. And the Rambam is a rule. When a mitzvah has multiple parts, I never count each part as a separate mitzvah. And his one that he always quotes is lulav. Torah says to take pri etzadar, kapos tamarim, and naf etzavos. I only count it as one mitzvah, despite the fact that there are four parts to this mitzvah. Four parts to the mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Avram said.
So does he count the suin kedushin in the mitzvah? Does he count two mitzvahs or one mitzvah?
No, one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah. To get married with the suin and kedushin.
We make a brach at the arayos, at the irsin?
Yes, he does.
He does.
Yes, that's the start of the mitzvah. We don't make a bracha at the suin, right. At least in our berachas hamitzvah, right?
Do we do ksuba or kedushin first in our practice today?
We do kedushin first. Then, even though technically the obligation for the ksuba is done at the tish. So once he signs the obligation, he's obligated himself to do it, but it's predicated upon the fact that they will be engaged.
So we do ksuba.
But there are people in Eretz Yisrael, it's very stylish. You know when they signed the ksuba? At the chuppah. Mm-hmm. Right after Harayat Mekudeshet Li, the witnesses are called up, and in Israel, the chassan signs and the two witnesses. Mm-hmm. So they do it at the chuppah. And I've seen it done here occasionally as well. Especially if the Masada Kedushin is neurotic and it's Shkia time. Oy, I wrote down the date of tomorrow and it's not yet tomorrow. Or he wrote down yesterday's date and it's already tomorrow. Like this, when you write when you sign the ksuba at the chuppah, you look at your watch. What time is it? You know exactly whether it's today or tomorrow. And you'll make sure not to have this chuppah during the Shkia. That's all. So that's... in Eretz Yisrael they do. So technically, ksuba is after kedushin.
So why can't we learn that Mishnah like basically this Rabbeinu Avram? With the Ksam Sofer's question.
Right.
So when it says kedushin, it's lav dafka, it's not lav.
In Echanami, that's what Rabbi Avram is saying. Yes, 100%.
Does anyone use the language that it's a heksher mitzvah, that kedushin? No one calls it that.
It might be. I've never seen that language with kedushin, but it's not totally inappropriate. Not totally inappropriate. Yeah.
When we say the bracha by erusin now, we say the bracha that is to aser everybody else and to mater and to include the nisui and the erusin.
Correct. That is correct.
The bracha obviously covers.
That's correct. That was a change that the Rabbi Tam made. The text originally said, "Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al arayos, v'asar lanu hasarusos, v'hitir lanu hasanasuos." What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can marry any. You're only not permitted to live with your arusa, but a married woman you're allowed to live with. Hasanasuos. As long as she's married, you're allowed to have relations. So Rabbi Natam added one word, Bahanasuas Lana. It's Rabbi Natam's edition. And everybody now uses it.
Obviously, it didn't bother the Gaonim.
No, it did not. It did not. And one of the proofs that the Rush brings that Erusin is not a mitzvah, because why am I talking about V'asa Lanu thing? Just write six words. Ashekereshanu bin Sotavitzivanu, Likadesh Isha. That's it. What do you need? The asa lanu as far as arayos, v'tzivanu ala arayos. Why is that part of the framework of the bracha of a mitzvah to get married? And it's a good question that the Rush has on the Rambam.
It's a very descriptive bracha. It's a bracha that describes the ramifications of the kedusha.
That's why the Rush classifies it as a berachas haneh, as a berachas shevach, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to live. With your spouse, with your partner. It's not a berachas hamitzvah. Because it doesn't look like a berachas hamitzvah.
Isn't it more like a berachas hanen?
It's something like. So he calls it a berachas shevach. The truth is, once you get through all the yeshivish Torah, there are lots of brachos that are written in the style of berachas hamitzvah, which are not a berachas hamitzvah, and lots of brachos that are not written in the style of a berachas hamitzvah, and people classify, that's a berachas hamitzvah. Don't say, even though it doesn't even say the word Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvaysa. Take for example Ovadia Yosef. He paskins that women are not allowed to say Berachas Kriya Shema. When they come to daven, they daven through Yishtabach, and then you just skip right to Shmon Esrei, because they are. You can say Shema, But Sfardim do not recite a bracha on a mitzvah which you're not obligated to observe. So if a Sfardi woman goes into the sukkah, she doesn't say Leshei Pasukkah. Sfardi woman picks up a lulav and asrog, does not say Al Matilas Lulav. So Rabbi Avadya says, Sfardi women who recite the Shema don't say the Berchas HaMitzvah. What's the Berchas HaMitzvah? Yoytzerar, Avaraba, all, it doesn't look like a Berchas HaMitzvah at all. But he counts it, classifies it as a Berchas HaMitzvah, and in that regard is one of the few areas where Chacham Avadya did not gain worldwide acceptance in the Sephardic community. Because a lot of Sephardic poskim disagreed with him. Normally he overtowered every one of them, but in that area there's a lot of women who continue to say, Lama Gein Vaita. Says the Gemara, Umi Omar Shmuel Shema Yikadmenu Acher? Did Shmuel actually advance the art?
Tashma?
What?
Do we skip two lines?
Oh yeah, Tanish Tashma, right. The Tana de Beis Shmuel, Me'arsin Avalo Konsin. The Ein Osin Sudas Erusin, Velo Miyabnit Menesha Simcha Hilo, Shma Mina. So if you want to bring some support to Shmuel, in the school of Shmuel, the Beis Shmuel, they all formulated the halacha. You're allowed to what? Get engaged on the Chol HaShemoed, but you're not allowed to get married. But you're not permitted to make a Sudas Erusin, which is an optional Suda. It's not required to have a Sudas Erusin. But nonetheless, don't make it on Chol HaShemoed. Why all of these things? Nesha Simcha Hilo. Shema Mina. Okay. So Shmuel didn't say it alone. His whole school said it. Okay. What else would you expect in the school of Shmuel? Not to parrot what Shmuel said. Of course they would do that. It's not the most compelling proof in the world. Yeah. Ask the Gemara. Vi Amar Shmuel Shema Yikadmenu Acher. The Ha'amar Av Yehuda Amar Shmuel B'chol Yoyim V'yoyim Bas kol yotzeis ve'omeres, bas ploni liploni, sode ploni liploni. So how could Shmuel say Shema Yikadmenu Acher? The Gemara, Shmuel himself is the author of the opinion that 40 days, every not 40 days. Here is every single day. A baskol is emitted from heaven and says, this guy is getting married to this guy. That's it. That's
girl.
What's happening.
It's girl.
What? It's predetermined. Exactly.
Girl.
So, and in fact, in Sote, I didn't put that in, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Girsa is the more famous one, Arba'im Yom Kodem Yitzivas Ablad. What do you mean, B'chol Yom V'yom? How... these baskol agents can be busy for thousands of years. Every day, that's all they're going to do is say, "Oh, this one gets married to this one gets married." Kind of crazy. So, yeah. Now, so that's the Gemara's question. Abarmev. So, what do you mean? What do you mean?
What are you worried about?
Right. What are you worried about? Yeah. So take a look at the source sheet. I have the Gemara there in Sota, and that's page 6. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav doesn't say Shmuel there; it's his nemesis Rav. Abarim Yom Kodem Yitziras Havlad Basko Yotzes VeOmeres Basploni Laploni. Bayis ploni laploni, sode ploni laploni. Well, so therefore the Gemara says, what do you mean, Shema Yekadmenu Acher? Answers the Gemara. Loi kasha. Ha bezivug rishon, ha bezivug sheni. First marriage is indeed decreed from heaven. Zet bas kolma, zet. Second marriages are not decreed from heaven, you got the choice. And that's what he means, Shema Yekamenu Acher. That's what he might mean. No, that's not what the Gemara, that's what the Gemara there answers. We'll see what the Gemara answers here in a second. The Gemara gives a different answer. Ela Shema Yekamenu Acher Birachamim. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made a decree, strong petition can change that decree. That's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu the entire 10 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and perhaps till Hashanah Rabbah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you've made a decision, please listen to my tefillot. So through tefillah, you can change it. So therefore, since you have the ability to change it, for this reason, we now allow you to get engaged on Chol HaShamoed. Because it means that what? You did petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu well, and apparently he looks like that she's considering what? Getting engaged to you. So we allow it, because if you're going to wait till after Chol HaShamoed, maybe somebody else's tefillot we're going to be even more powerful than yours, and then you're going to be stuck without him.
So we're assuming this is the second guy coming to steal it from
you? No, this is the first guy. Tosis is going to ask, why didn't the Gemara simply say this is the second guy?
No, in our Gemara. So there's the Bas.
First guy. Bas Kol said, you're getting married to Ilan.
Okay.
That's it. That's what he said.
Okay, so who's doing the praying here? Is it the man and the woman together?
No. Somebody else.
No. My point is, so let's say so. There's yeah, Reuven and Shimon and Leah.
Right.
Okay. Reuven's supposed to be with Leah, and Shimon's praying his heart out.
Right.
So Reuven's allowed to get married to Leah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say Leah's praying her heart out. She wants to get married to another. Like who's praying?
So no. But we don't know. But apparently,
it's possible.
I
mean, not to be philosophical here, but this is a whole problem. It's not really much of a problem if you're saying B'chol Yom. You can just explain that every day the Bas Kol comes out. Today, Reuven's with Leah. And by the way, if you don't do it tomorrow, Reuven's with Dina or something. I mean, that's what's different. But then you get rid of the whole question about first and second match, and you get rid of the whole question
This is Bashir, they were saying.
Right? Because today you're with Dina, with Leah. Tomorrow you're with Rivka. The Bas Kol comes out every day. That's the whole point of the whole year. He could change his mind.
The Bas Kol's changing its mind? Bas Kol doesn't change its mind.
No, you answer the Zivok Shani and
Zivok. Bas Kol is a recorded announcement. It can't change. Bas Kol's don't change.
But it seems like this idea that Bashir can be changed with one guy's a chus, so some guy's out,
Yes, that's what it is. Bashir can be changed. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying.
Is it possible that there is a difference between Rav and Shmuel? Rav really saying it's really predetermined. Shmuel says no. Every day, through your actions, things can change.
Okay, that's a possibility. I'm not saying no. Yeah? Because I'm going to get to that in a second, because that's part of the next source in the Gemara, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then takes a teapot of the conceived baby and brings it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Asher Yehei, Ani Yehei, Chacham Yehei, Tipish Yehei. So that which happens to us, not the decision to do right and wrong, that's up to us. But whether you're going to be a multimillionaire is up to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I got my ticket right here for tonight. 105 million. If I don't get tonight, tomorrow night's ticket, 140 million. And I'm not a chazer. Rabbanim should give me tonight. It's just okay. I can take the 105 million as well. So that's up to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether I win the lottery or not. Yeah.
But your comment, too, and I'm following your question completely, the Bas Kol is not a separate entity that makes determinations. As you said, it's a recorded message, but it's God's recorded message.
Of course.
Right, so... But
so God can change his mind.
Jeff's question
he can change his mind.
That's what Jeff was saying.
Okay, I said it might be right. Might be right. But if you take the version of 40 days before, that's it. There's no one further decision. Then it's been decreed, and that there are no changes unless you beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a change. So therefore, the Gemara said here, that's why Shmuel allowed him to get engaged. Because if he doesn't get engaged, somebody's going to pray awfully hard, and Shema Yikad Menu Acher.
I thought Hashem doesn't change good decrees, only change bad decrees for Rabbi. Meaning you
could
claim it was a good decree, why would he change
it? Relative to person A, it's
very difficult. Okay, it was a better decree for this guy, you know. Don't answer. We can't answer these questions. It doesn't pay to ask them because we can't answer them. Can't answer these questions. Yeah. Now,
Genie Aladdin, you can have all the wishes you can make someone love anyway.
Some ask the question, why in the formulation of the statement b'chol yom b'yom bas pil yotzeis v'omeres bas ploni l'ploni? What? Why doesn't it say right bas ploni l'ben ploni, or just say ploni l'ploni? Why bas ploni l'ploni without making the statement? So in the Ein Yaakov, which is a commentary on the Agadita, it says that there is a Gemara in Kedushin, which I have for you right here, on page 7. The Gemara in Kedushin asks, Bekesef Minole. How do I know that Kedushin is effective how is Kesef effective for Kedushin? So the Gemara already answered that on Beis Amid Beis, saying Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim. So Rishonim deal with the issue. What's the Gemara's question? This is Gimel Amid Beis. It's already been answered on Beis Amid Beis. Again, it's not my issue. Vesu Hodisnan Ha'av Zakoi Bebito Bekidusheha Bekesef Bishtaru Bebia Minolon the Miknia Bekesef Vekesef Da'avuo. How do I know that a father has a right not only to marry off his daughter after age 3 until 12, but that he gets to keep the Kesef HaKedushin? That's what the Gemara really is asking. Not so much that Kedushin is effective, but how do I know that the father, who is not getting married to this guy, there is no such parallel that a father can marry off his son. Only his daughter. And as a result, he says, that's what's happening here. Bas Ploini, the Bas, has no say in the matter. She is going to be getting married to whom? To this Ploini, based on the fact that what? Because Pop said so. But Ben Ploini, the son of this man, can't be married off by Ploini, by the son of, by this Ploini. He can't. He can only get married himself after he's bar mitzvah. But as a minor, there is no way for a katan to get married.
In case of miyun, does the father have to return the money to the other father?
In case of miyun?
She hits 11 and a half.
If the father marries her off, she's married midoraisa. There is no opportunity of miyun. Only if the mother or the brother marry her older brother, marry her off, then she is not married until she becomes a gedoyla, and then she can be mima'enes. Say, I don't want to marry him, she walks out, doesn't need a get, nothing. So that's how some explain why it says bat ploni, lip ploni under those circumstances. So take a look at the bottom Tosfos on the page. Tosis asked that question. Umi Omar Shmuel Shema Yekadenu Acher. Teimol. Es is Bamir Avunder. Amai Lo Mishani Ha Bezivok Sheni Ha Bezivok Rishon. Kide Mishani Beperik Sheni De Sanhed Beperik Kami De Soter. Why doesn't the Gemara simply say that it depends on first marriage, which is now decreed by Mazel, cannot be changed, and the second marriage, there's a lot more flexibility and allow you to and therefore Shema Yikad Menu Acher means for the second marriage. Tosfos doesn't give an answer for that. Doesn't give an answer. Yeah, and the Ran actually points out. I don't have the Ran here because the Sefari doesn't have the Ran on this Masechta. That when the Gemara says Sade Ploni Leploni and Bayis Ploni Leploni. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already decreed all of your business interactions for the rest of your life. And that you're going to be living on Rutland, and you're living on Winthrop, you're living there. That's not what it means. It means in terms of the Nadin for Erusin. How much are you going to be getting for your daughter or son in the context of a marriage agreement? That's already been decreed, Sada Laploni and Bayis Ploni Laploni. But it's not throughout all of your acquisitions, throughout your entire life. Yeah. Now, says the Gemara, just another two lines. Kiha de Rava, Shame Lahahu Gavra, Rava heard this person. Deba'i Rachmi, who was asking for what? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachmanis, V'amar, Tizdamen li planisa. Please, Rabbi Nishalaylam, let me marry that wonderful lady. Amalei, so Rafa said to him, Lo tiba'i Rachmi hef, achi. You shouldn't make such a request like that. Why? Ichaz yalach, if she is indeed suited for you, so then the Gzeira of heaven will eventually get her to you. So you don't have to bother praying. Ichaz yalach, lo azla minach. She's not going to anybody else anyhow. So don't waste your time. Ve'ilo, and if she's not suitable for you, and what? And the baskol is not going to listen to you. Kafarta ba'ashem. Our Ger says, kafarta ba'ashem. You will start becoming an apikairis. Because what are you going to say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to my tefillot. I begged to marry that woman, and he didn't grant it to me. Fine. Basar Haki Shameh de Ka'amar, later after that he heard what was he saying. O Ihu Leimus Mikama, O Ihi Tomus Mikameh. What was he saying? You know what, Rabbani Shalom? Let me die before I watch her get married anybody else. Or even better yet, let her die. If I'm not going to marry her, let her die. So, and that's why Amalei, that's why Rava said, Lav amina lach, lo tiboya lach, de milsahachi. I told you not to start begging for her because you're going to wind up saying such idiotic things. Let her die, let you die. That's what comes about when you start making petitions unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which is totally not in your control.
What's this got to do with anything?
No, because the Gemara said that you, if you pray, then you're allowed to... you can change things.
So now we're saying we shouldn't be.
So Rav is saying it's not the wisest thing in the world.
So therefore, what does that have to do with anything?
So they're just referring the story. So then
does that affect Shmuel's statement?
That affects Shmuel's statement because it's not really possible. Shema Yekad Menu Acher.
So we shouldn't allow people.
Correct. That according to Rav, he doesn't think it's compelling because he doesn't advise engaging in that route of tefillah. Okay, we'll stop here. I just want to say on behalf of our good friend Elliot, he was zoicha to publish his first sefer. Second sefer. And in order to celebrate the publishing of his second sefer. He has a little chayim for each one of us, and he comes in style with big kosot and wine and cake, and hopefully you should be well and have your faculties with you to write many, many books. Many books. And to continue to learn. More important than writing books is to continue to learn.